The following show is produced and distributed by the Gab Radio Network.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered in the United States through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
Welcome to Straight Talk Money, the place where you learn the wisdom of Wall Street. Over the next hour, you'll not only get straight answers to your questions about your money, but also get firsthand insight into the economy and the markets from people who have seen it all. Get ready. Straight Talk Money starts right now.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wednesday. Here are some of the things we're going to be talking about on the show today. It looks like if the markets were to open right now, they would open up just slightly lower. It seems like there is still, of course, China-U.S. talk as far as the trade deal in the works. In fact, next week, the United States and China will schedule a new round of high-level trade talks. They're really hoping that they can wrap this up by late next month and put an end to this year-long battle between the two of them. Of course, all eyes are going to be on the Fed as they issue a policy statement. That's going to be at 1 o'clock Central Time. That is noontime in Mountain Time. And then Fed Chairman Jerome Powell, he will actually have a news conference following that statement. So we are going to bring on our Fed expert. Doug Roberts is going to be with us a little later in the show to kind of decipher what we may or may not hear. More on this and other financial news is going to be coming your way this hour on Straight Talk Money. Good morning, everybody. I'm Peggy Tuck. And of course, joining me is Chase Robertson. Good morning.
Good morning, Peggy.
It looks like a little bit of pressure on the markets, and it really seems a little bit mixed. Of course, the NASDAQ been the darling so far this year. NASDAQ's up a little bit, as for the S&P and the Dow. If the markets were to open right now, they would be a little bit lower.
Yeah, I mean, you know, flat by definition, but not. It'll be relatively slow until there'll be low volume until we have the Fed announcement today. No surprise there. But you know, needless to say, this year's gone off to a good start. There hasn't been that many years that have started this well. Over time, I think five since 1925. So, you know, it's been a good little start to what I would consider we're approaching the top. It's definitely a good time to consider more defensive plays. You know, watch risk management, take profits where you can. All good decisions.
Well, we did have some earnings coming in. FedEx right now apparently is down about 6% in pre-market. They missed on profits and as well as revenue. And then they also cut their full year forecast. Now, some are saying that that is kind of a pulse of maybe what is going on on the global economy, because pretty much the FedEx is saying that it was declining international revenue as a result of exchange, the money exchange, the dollars and things of that, and also negative effects of trade.
Yeah, I think trade has an impact. I think people, you know, the exchange of goods and services, you know, FedEx's core model is overnight envelopes, right?
Well, if you looked at their prices lately, no wonder they're down.
I mean, overnight.
No wonder someone's not looking at
it. They're the envelope people. DHL used to be the international overnight. I don't see anybody use DHL anymore. FedEx is the overnight envelope people. And, you know, there's going to be less and less of that as time goes on, as things like DocuSign become integrated into more people's businesses. There's just no need to physically exchange paper. I mean, one of my biggest complaints about this business, the business of money management, is that we have way too much paper. I often joke, you know, after a couple of cocktails, we're in the tree-killing business, literally. I mean, there's paper everywhere. Very unnecessary, in my opinion. I think it's better to save the trees. Just digitize everything. So you're going to see that more and more, because at the end of the day, in my opinion, FedEx is a one-trick pony, and this will have a severe impact, because, you know, DocuSign's becoming more and more popular. You know, 5 years ago it wasn't, and Charles and I talk about this often. It's it's being integrated in more and more businesses, and that just cuts out the need to pay $25 to $250 to have something flown. This is the best part. To Memphis, Tennessee first, and then out. So you could literally, if you were FedExing something from Napa Valley to San Francisco, which is about an hour and a half drive, I used to drive it, it would go from Napa to Memphis, and then Memphis back to San Francisco.
And they still got it there overnight.
But
that's pretty impressive.
For sure. But bear with me here. I mean, if I was going to FedEx something to downtown Houston, Memphis, back to Houston, there might be some changes needed in that business model.
Well, their shares have dropped. They're down 27% on the past year. They went down 27%. And there you go. DocuSign, competition
sure.
from other arenas. Now, the only thing with DocuSign, plus we have talked about this a lot on the show, is about the whole data storage, because then you have to store all that data somewhere.
Yeah, a thematic investment that we like, data. But we don't. FedEx is in any portfolio I've seen, so I'm not worried about that.
Yeah, we also had General Mills. General Mills was reporting. They had a quarterly profit of 83 cents per share. They beat the consensus. They were only looking at maybe 69 cents a share. And their revenue was just slightly above. And they've also, but more importantly, their forward outlook, they feel like that's improving. So that's a good sign for them. After the bell today, we'll hear from Guess, Micron, Herman Miller, and Williams and Sonoma are just a few that they will hear about after the bell today. But one of the big stories today that's being talked about is Google and, of course, Alphabet, the parent company. Mm-hmm. The European Union filed a $1.7 billion fine against them. They say that they're abusing the dominance of a search engine.
Yeah, I mean, I can see, there's overlapping themes between Parliament, the U.S. government, and obviously the Chinese government that censors every single thing you see. I can see them taking a run at big tech to break it up. Because at the end of the day, Google absolutely has a monopoly. They are the best search engine by far. I mean, just pull up Yahoo, pull up Google, put in the same things. The quality of Google is the best. Now, you could make the case, the guy with the goods, the lady with the goods should, be at the top, in life. If you're the best, you're at the top. But they may have become too big and too powerful in the space. Though I don't see the need for a lot of competition in search engines, because it is a free to the user. The more search engines does not make competition better. But needless to say, sometimes difficult to find things on the internet. But yeah, that's a decent whack.
On the flip side of that, they've done is they're planning 140. They're really trying to stick their toes into the gambling billion gaming industry. Mm-hmm. I guess you could say they've got a new streaming service, and it's called Stadia, and people can play like high-end games, but don't have to purchase the consoles and the computers and stuff to do it. So they're trying to move into that direction. So it was kind of a 1-2 punch. They're a positive story from them, and then they got kicked in the gut, I guess you could say.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, almost $2 billion is decent. That's a decent fine. So needless to say, still some choppiness with Boeing, and you'll see that until the software update goes through. I'm sure there'll be plenty of complaining about lawsuits. I mean, let's be honest, in America, we sue people because the coffee is too warm, so we're absolutely going to sue Boeing for grounding planes for a week. I wouldn't try to trade it. I'd stay away from it until it's done. I'm just hanging on to it. I'm not going to make any changes. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, Chase Roberts and Peggy Tuck. We'll be right back after these important announcements.
I've got the secrets I've been hiding under my skin. My heart is human. My blood is boiling. My brain IBM. So if you see me acting strangely.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. you'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you, the all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz, vans, born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Do you have a great idea for a radio show but have no idea where to start? Or have you been hosting a podcast for a while and want to take it to the next level? If so, you need the Gab Radio Network. To host a show on the Gab Radio Network, all you need is your voice, and we'll handle the rest. From technical engineering to full-service audio production and much more. Every show on the Gab Radio Network can be heard on our station on the TuneIn Radio app. Plus, we put all our shows on our satellite, which is accessed by 5,500 stations. And here's the best part. You can host from anywhere you want. There are many means to connect to the Gab Radio Network remotely, and our staff of highly trained engineers and producers will make you sound like you're right here in studio. So, if you want to be on the Gab Radio Network, the same network that hosts the Small Business Advocate, Radio MD, and Talkin' Pets, send an email right now to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Here is today's Saab Automotive Tech Story. I'm Nick Miles. After Ford and Volkswagen, two of the world's largest automakers, revealed a new agreement, what do we know? They will be seen to collaborate building commercial vans and pickup trucks along with batteries at Ford's factory in Michigan. Both firms also made vague references to future collaboration on electric and autonomous vehicles. They agreed to investigate electric vehicles, EVs, and autonomous vehicles in the future. For more cool car tech, visit testmiles.com.
Out here on the trail, the difference between a good time and a great time usually comes down to how dirty your Tacoma gets. So put that multi-terrain select to good use. Track down some nasty stuff and dive right in. Learn more at toyota.com/testmiles.
You're listening to Global American Broadcasting, the Gab Radio Network. For more info on our programs and services, including technical operations and syndication, please visit gabradionetwork.com.
This is Dr. Mitch Gibson from The Mitch and Kathy Show. Have you ever wondered why you can't talk to people about certain things? Every day we go through life holding back on what we really want to talk about. Yes, there's a lot of talk shows that give you a chance to air your opinions about politics, race relations, and a host of other topics that you're supposed to be thinking about. Well, what about those other areas that you hold back on, such as that ghost you saw when you were a kid, those times when you travel outside your body, that UFO you can't talk about, that you saw in your backyard, those strange people that appear and disappear around you, and you know you're not crazy? On The Mitch and Kathy Show, we give you a chance to talk about stuff like that, things that you hide from the world. In this way, we consider ourselves a guilty pleasure.
Visit themitchandkathyshow.com for more information, or go to gabradionetwork.com.
Welcome back. I'm Peggy Tuck. Hey, if you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet, now is the time. Just go to straighttalkmoney.com and click on the newsletter tab. We're going to send you lots of great information, just like what you're hearing on the show today, but no sales material. It's really easy. Just go to straighttalkmoney.com and sign up today.
The only two things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm feeling women.
All right, folks, welcome back to Straight Talk Money. Hey, it's Chase Roberts and Peggy Tuck. Hope you're having a wonderful morning. It's the debate on whether the air quality in Houston is diminishing via the fires down at the refineries. It's high debate. I can't really tell, but I never noted Houston to have high air quality, especially compared to where about 600,000 of our listeners are. So I have no statement there, but big topics down here. Of course, lawsuits. Why not? We sue for everything in this country. You know, one thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, cash management is something that can, you know, it can hurt you over the long run. And I'll be honest, I'm not specifically good at it. And I don't mean by budgeting. I just mean, you know, I have a money market account. I put money in the money market account. I don't use a savings account. I have a high yield checking account that pays interest. I own a bank CD. I own some short-term treasuries, but I'm not really good about it. In fact, I met he's now a client. He just got on board. But, he was telling me that, and this is what spurred this, because I've never heard of anybody doing this, though I'm highly impressed. And over time, this will yield probably north of 20% on his money. But, you know, he actively searched out the best place for yield. Different deals, because, you know, a lot of times you'll move to a bank, you know, 2% for 11 months, and then it drops down to 5 basis points. Life gets away from you. So, you know, we touched on this yesterday, but here are some ideas for you to consider. One, you know, for immediate liquidity, you should always have, obviously, a checking account and then a money market account. So, you know, you might check and see what you're getting on your money market. Money market is the same thing as a savings account. You know, Chase, Wells Fargo, BBVA, I'm trying to think of another big bank. Bank of America, you know, if you're getting 5 basis points and you can move it somewhere else for 2.5% for 12 months, it's probably worth it. I mean, you know, at least you're keeping up with inflation.
Well, with a money market, isn't that generally, if say, for instance, you have like a brokerage account or an IRA, or would you go out and open just a money market account?
Well, most people at a bank have mm-hmm. a savings account.
Right.
And they have a checking account.
Mm-hmm.
A money market account is just an alternative to a savings account. A lot of people have money market accounts now and not savings accounts because historically in this low rate environment they've paid better. So it's the same thing. It's apples. It's
okay.
Granny Smith apples to Granny Smith apples. Short term liquidity. So money market savings, not to be confusing, tied to your checking. So good. You know, that's good. You know, and I keep. I've been furnishing my house, so. Can't even boldly say I have 12 months worth of cash in my money market, but probably have 6 months at this point. After buying couches, rugs, all that kind of jazz. So, you know, I suggest keeping 6 to 12. If Mike Robertson was here, he'd say anything over 12 is too much. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's up to you and your spending habits and really what's coming down the pipe. You know, your 24-month pipe. So those are all kind of personal. You give me a shout. We can always walk through that. And then, you know, going from there, you know, as we move to a more defensive time, and Peggy's right, if you have an account with Robertson Wealth Management and you get a dividend, the dividend is received in cash. On that day or the next following day, it'll show cash in your account, and then within a day or two, it gets converted into a money market strip, and then you're making some interest. Not a lot, but...
Well, we are starting to see some banks... Especially in the online sector, there are some banks that you're starting to pay more.
Mm-hmm.
Not much, trust me. You know, it's still not going to beat the S&P necessarily, but we are starting to see those rates go up a little.
Rates are definitely going up.
We're not
going
to see 12% CDs.
No, it's Mike Robertson's famous Ben Bernanke story. You'll never see rates as high as your parents. I won't tell that story because Peggy will. She'll just walk out of the room.
Anybody that's heard it, we can all do it in unison, quite frankly. But it's a story worth noting. So
it's a notable story. So, you know, as we move through the chart now, money market has instantaneous liquidity, but the most liquid security on earth is probably the 1-year treasury. So, you know, as we discuss and we focus on the idea of turning your account into being defensive. You know, when I say that, that doesn't mean immediately just completely reallocate, but you know, you have a windfall, you have a payday, you have a bonus, you don't know what you want to do with it. You know, you already own stocks that are priced well. Short-term treasury, 1-year treasuries, not a bad place to stick it.
And how do you play that? I mean, where do you get one?
You can just go to the fixed income section of your.
Do you do this at your bank?
Your E-Trade, your brokerage, whatever.
Okay.
And the all weather strategy that we've been discussing that we've just started rolling out. I'm probably going to run 10% short term treasuries in there, just as a defensive cash option. And they're paying 2.2, 2.4, similar what you can get in a money market or a CD, but not a bad decision. Now, back to the CD idea. If you really are concerned about the market, about your financial future, whatever. I mean, everybody feels different about their money. It's your money. I'm not here to ever say what to do with it. Banksy is not a bad decision. I have a $25,000 Banksy right now. I'm getting 2.2, I think. I had to buy it to get a lower mortgage rate, but needless to say, it's sitting there. It's chugging along. No complaints. Yeah, my stepdad uses bank CDs. He's just chugging along. That's his. Now, remember, if you invest in a bank CD, you're never going to get 20% on your money. It seems to be a major confusion with people these days. So never forget that if you want 20%, don't buy a bank CD. Don't buy a bond. Don't buy a preferred stock. It's just not going to happen. So, always connect your desired return. Understand that there's risk with return. To the right asset class. Seems to be a lot of confusion around there. So if you listen to this show and you want to buy a bank CD and you don't get 50% on your money this year, I warned you, that's just not the way it works. So for those who are laughing, just keep giggling. So there, bank CD, and not as popular, hasn't been popular for 10 years, but will become more popular now that we see rates around that 2.5 to 3 on those longer term CDs. Bank CD will be a more option. I think the short term treasury is a better option. I wouldn't have run out and buy the CD unless I had to get a low rate on a mortgage. But for those who like them, some people of a different generation prefer them. Nothing wrong with it. Great way to sleep at night. So those are really the options. I think people think there's this kind of endless options in some of these more conservative asset classes. There really aren't. So those are kind of the key ones to touch on, to go with. And again, I love the fact that we have clients that are out there finding the best rates. I mean, I continue to reiterate how, I'm impressed. I rarely see people searching for that, but if you get it right, it can really make the difference on your cash management. Again, I always know I'm not very good at it. I show up early, I leave late. It's tough to do. But if you have the time, maybe stick your spouse on it. Not a bad decision. Not a bad decision, especially over time. 2% a year extra on your money over 10 years is not bad. So anyway, some food for thought there. I like the theme. Anyway, you're listening to Straight Talk Money with Chase Robertson, Peggy Tuck. We have Doug Roberts on the other side of the opening bells. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, Ken here from the hit podcast, Today's Growth. Who would win a 3-mile bicycle race, an 11-year-old girl or last year's winner of the Tour de France? It all depends on the bicycle. It depends on their vehicle. Both on a 10-speed and the pro racer is going to win every time. But put the racer on a tricycle and the 11-year-old wins every time. You see, it's not the driver, it's the vehicle. When it comes to generating revenue, it's exactly the same. If you have a job or a small business, you are riding a tricycle. You can only go so fast. If you need to make up lost ground, it's not going to happen on a tricycle. No matter how fast you pedal, it's simply not going to win the race. Why do many people with no schooling and no advanced degree often become very wealthy? Simple. They choose to only ride 10 speeds. When it comes to helping people create their next revenue model, both Forbes and Inc. recommend Income Store as a can't miss when it comes to putting people on a 10 speed. Could your household or business use an additional revenue model that doesn't solely depend on you? If so, you need to check out IncomeStore.com. That's IncomeStore.com.
Hi, I'm John Patch, host of Talkin' Pets with your Talkin' Pets Minute of the Day. Internal parasites, you know those nasty worms? No, not the ones that you go fishing with, but the ones that you'll find inside your dogs. Make sure your pet is screened annually for internal parasites. Dogs are commonly exposed to worms and other microscopic parasites, even in urban areas. Now, some parasites may cause disease in humans, so proper screening and treatment are essential for the health of both you and your pooch. Now, all puppies should be dewormed by your veterinarian. Most pups, even from healthy mothers in good homes, can carry roundworms or hookworms. You think that's spaghetti on the floor? When it starts to move, you know it's not. The key to treatment is correct diagnosis, which is most often obtained by microscopic examination of your dog's feces by your veterinarian. Your veterinarian can then prescribe the appropriate medication. For more information, visit my website at talkinpets.com. That's TALKINPETS.com.
Hi, this is John Patch, host of Talkin' Pets. Hey, don't forget, if you're looking for those certain pet products that maybe you don't want to drive to the pet store for, maybe you just want to go onto a website, look and see what you can find and have it delivered to you. Yeah, that's a lot easier. A lot easier than getting in the car, spending the money on the gas. Go to My Pet Mall. It's actually on TalkinPets.com. Click on TALKINPETS.com. It'll take you to my site, Talkin' Pets, and then click on the banner there that says Pet Mall, TALKINPETS.com. And click on the Pet Mall.
A great radio show may sound like it's easy to make, but if you've ever tried, you know that's not the case. With the time spent engineering, producing, and archiving, you end up losing focus on what really matters, the content of your show. If you put your show on the Gab Radio Network, you'll be able to leave all those technical worries to our staff of highly trained engineers and producers. And all you need to do is have fun and put on a great show. Want to find out more? Send an email over to sales@gabradionetwork.com. That's sales@gabradionetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD. If you've ever had questions about your health, listen to Healthline Live now online at qnlabs.com every Monday through Saturday. I'll take your nutrition questions live during show hours and guide you the best I can on your path to great health. The key to great health is nutrition, and unfortunately, our food sources are not even close to what they used to be. Go to qnlabs.com and join me to learn about quantum nutrition. Ask your questions and get real answers. I'll give you the truth so you're empowered to make excellent nutrition and lifestyle choices. Remember, each day's show streams 24 hours until the next show, so you can listen at your convenience, from anywhere, anytime. If you miss a show, you can still find it archived on the website. So take advantage of this great opportunity to educate yourself and your family. That's Healthline Live every Monday through Saturday on QNLabs.com.
The straight talk you need to make it in today's economy.
That is the sound of the opening bells, and as I said, it's going to be a little lower this morning. The Dow down 85, bouncing around there. The S&P is also in the red this morning. Utilities are leading, NASDAQ down about 8.25. Financials are lagging. So there's the start to the markets today. A little pressure out there. Of course, we have a Fed meeting coming up this afternoon. They'll release policy statement. And then following that will be a press conference with Fed Chair Jerome Powell.
Yeah, I think volume will be low this morning. I mean, you know, it's 30 basis points or a third of 1% isn't, you know, it's not specifically down, but needless to say, people are going to be watching and highly analyzing those. But, you know, there's still those outliers that are, you know, just rumbling around. There's a couple of stocks in these portfolios that are up 7% already today. So you just never – a great way to reiterate that, folks, is some stocks go up, some stocks go down. None of them move in total synchronicity all at the same time.
But anyway, when we have a Fed day coming on, we always like to tap into our Fed expert, I guess you could say. I've had the pleasure of interviewing this gentleman and talking to him for many years now. His name is Doug Roberts, and he is the chief investment strategist for Channel Capital Research. He's also the author of Follow the Fed to Investment Success. He does a lot of other crazy wild things. He's a member of the Explorers Club. They actually discovered an old U-boat, World War II German submarine off the coast of New Jersey. There was a book about it called Shadow Divers that a lot of our historian type listeners might enjoy.
Pretty cool.
And he serves on the International Board of Governors for Sigma Phi Epsilon Fraternity.
Mm-hmm. Good fraternity. Anyway, welcome to the show, Doug.
Good to be on with you and Chase, with you and Peggy. Always a pleasure.
I think, first off, I think our listeners would like to know what they should be looking for in the Fed statements that will be released today.
I guess probably what Jerome Powell is going to do is he needs to sound dovish enough that he doesn't cause any problems. Because right now, I mean, the rest of the, I don't think there'll be any, you know, people should, number one, work, look at, you know, any indications he gives on basically conventional tightening. And probably, you know, my guess is, for the most part, he's going to sit there and stick to that they're kind of in a wait-and-see mode. They're not going to do anything. And as of now, you know, no action is planned and taken. The real kind of more difficult or sticky wicket, if you want to use the British term, will be really the quantitative tightening with the liquidation of the Fed's balance sheet. He needs to kind of give enough dovishness there that people, you know, don't overreact. But at the same time, he probably still wants to leave him some leeway as to when he can basically the liquidation process. So that's going to be a bit more difficult than we really, you know, I don't really want to speculate as to what he's going to do with that, but that's something where he really needs to do something that's not negative but still gives him the flexibility, because ultimately if there is a slowdown either later in the year or next year, he needs to be able to have some ammo in kind of the in his arsenal to do, and if the Fed's balance sheet is much bigger, then, you know, he's a little bit more limited as to what he can do with quantitative easing.
We've actually gotten off to a pretty good start this year. You made some comments. You wrote a really interesting piece, and I guess people can go to your website and get your analysis.
Yeah, no, I mean, we have a subscription as well on our website, channelcapitalresearch.com, where people get the monthly commentary, which allows them to see this as well. But we also have a lot of free information on the website as well in terms of financial planning, just how the market operates. So usually it's something for everyone there.
Yeah, so you bring up that the first 2 months of 2019, we are having a really strong start to the year, especially coming off of quarter four, where it was just dismal. And you made a point that only 5 years since 1928 have we had such a strong start. What does that tell you? I know you're somewhat of a historian. What should we read into something like that?
It's very difficult right now. I mean, it's usually in a lot of those situations, the Fed was kind of easing and having a very dovish scenario. The rest of the year depended upon whether that continued, whether it was sufficient. Oftentimes it was due to kind of like a downturn, as we saw in the third quarter, and the fourth quarter, and a large part of it was really just the Fed shifting positions and almost a bounce back. So if you kind of average the 2 years' performance, it's really not as spectacular as it is. The real question right now is, you know, kind of like the slowdown that we're seeing, temporary, or is it something a little bit more lasting? And then how's the Fed going to react to it? I think what they've done is they've been prudent, and they've said we're really not sure about what's going on, so therefore we're not going to plan to do anything that could be tightening. We'll just stay neutral. The question will be, is that enough, you know, to kind of pacify the market, or do they want something more? You know, as we've seen in history, it may mean that basically a lot of that performance came in, you know, during the first 2 months, and then the remaining 10 months may be somewhat lackluster. Although if the Fed shifts to kind of like an even more dovish position with the FOMC decision today, it could be, you know, it in essence could be, you know, positive, and then you know, the year could progress quite nicely. I used two examples, I guess, in this month's commentary, 1987, which actually was one of the 5 years where the strong start was there, and then 1995. Now, in 1987, the Fed actually shifted to more of a hawkish position, largely because of the weakness in the dollar. And they were kind of defending the dollar. And that slowed the economy and caused the 1987 crash. And that was only really changed by basically the Fed reversing position. So it kind of stabilized things, but it was a fairly negative year. Now, in terms of 1995, the Fed took a pause, kind of maintained that, and the economy was strong enough that it didn't really require anything more than that. So we really just have to see, number one, is the slowdown that's experiencing for the rest of the world you know, going to spread to here? You know, is the trade balance going to cause any problems? You know, the so-called trade war that we're experiencing with China. And then is the Fed going to react properly to that, you know, in the short term by kind of doing enough to give people confidence? Because what we have to realize is if the Fed is dovish, even if the economy isn't necessarily as positive as anything else, then you know, you can still have a reasonably good year. So it's almost like an interplay between the economy and the Fed. You know, if the Fed basically reacts and starts, you know, shifting to a much more dovish tone, you could have a good year. Long term, that might cause some problems, but basically in the short term, and Wall Street has been known for, focusing strictly short term, long term tends to be about 3 to 4 weeks with it in Wall Street terms.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I guess the real concern is if there's a slowdown and it's prolonged, substantially prolonged.
Yeah, that becomes the key situation, and nobody's really sure of that. And that's, I think, what you know, Fed Chair Powell is trying to do. He's trying to reload on the quantitative side so that that way he can institute quantitative easing. He's not as concerned with conventional, but he needs to make sure.
All right, Doug, I got to cut you off, folks. We'll pick this up on the other side. You're listening to Straight Talk Money. We'll be right back after these important announcements.
Here is today's top automotive tech story. I'm Nick Miles. Ford introduced a new Explorer, which will include a police interceptor, a gas, a hybrid that will go 500 miles on a single tank, and a performance ST model that'll have over 400 horsepower. On the technology front, it'll have a 10.1 portrait-mounted touchscreen, much the same as a Tesla, Ford's Co-Pilot 360, driver assistance technologies that parallel parks the vehicle for you, and terrain management systems. For more cool car tech, visit testmiles.com.
Out here on the trail, the difference between a good time and a great time usually comes down to how dirty your Tacoma gets. So put that multi-terrain select to good use. Track down some nasty stuff and dive right in. Learn more at toyota.com/testmiles.
You're listening to Global American Broadcasting, the Gab Radio Network. For more info on our programs and services, including technical operations and syndication, please visit gabradionetwork.com.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.buysupertea.com or by calling 818-274-8270. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.buysupertea.com. That's buysupertea.com or by calling 818-274-8270. That's buysupertea.com or call 818-274-8270.
Here is today's top auto tech story. I'm Nick Miles. Looking to compete with Chinese rivals, Toyota and Panasonic are set to launch a joint venture next year to produce batteries for electric vehicles. The business could help Toyota achieve an annual sales target of around 1 million zero-emission battery EVs by 2030. Car Gurus recently published results of a survey of American adult consumers regarding their interest in electric vehicles. 15% said they were probably going to own one. For more cool car tech, visit testmiles.com.
Out here on the trail, the difference between a good time and a great time usually comes down to how dirty your Tacoma gets. So put that multi-terrain select to good use. Track down some nasty stuff and dive right in. Learn more at toyota.com/testmiles.
You're listening to Global American Broadcasting, the Gab Radio Network. For more info on our programs and services, including technical operations and syndication, please visit gabradionetwork.com.
A new year brings new opportunity. Seize it with Quantum Nutrition Lab's three key players for weight management. Promote physical performance and muscle energy with creatine monohydrate. Stimulate fat metabolism with green tea extract. Subdue hunger signals and boost protein intake with our vegan plant protein powder. Buy two bottles, get the third one free. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's qnlabs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise.
This segment is brought to you by SmartStop Asset Management, a diversified real estate company focused on self-storage in addition to senior and student housing.
We built this city on rock and roll, built this city.
All right, folks, welcome back to Straight Talk Money. I'm your host, Chase Robertson. Peggy Tuck. Hope you have a great morning. We've been talking with Doug Roberts, a Fed expert. And I think, if I heard this right, participated in the discovery of a German U-boat.
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite stories that we always make him relive.
Well,
you can get the book.
Fascinating.
Yeah, you can get a book. It's called Shadow Divers. But more importantly, you can get his book that he wrote. That's where I first probably started talking with Doug. It's called Follow the Fed to Investment Success. And just, is this book still available, Doug?
Yes, it is. You can still get it on Amazon as well.
Okay. Nice. It's good reading. I don't care what year it is.
So, we were talking, Doug and I have both brought this up in kind of our own way of saying it. A prolonged downturn could be problematic, not only from decisions from the Fed, but also just portfolio managers. But needless to say, Doug, what do you think an outcome looks like, if we have a prolonged downturn?
And I guess probably right now, for the last several downturns, what we've been doing is we've been relying on the Fed, mm-hmm. on monetary policy to kind of stimulate and bail us out. And then for the most part, that kind of allows Congress, the president, to kind of avoid making the hard decisions that, I guess, probably, if you want to call it the pre-1990s, when the United States became the dominant superpower, one of the benefits is you are the reserve currency of the world. But before that, we had to use fiscal policy to really to really deal with some of these issues. And we met, you know, then kind of everybody defaulted to the Fed. I remember it was years ago, you know, after 2008, you know, the financial crisis, you know, in essence, when Fed Chair Bernanke went in front of Congress, they all said, keep doing what you're doing, and nobody really wanted to deal with any problems because then there's no perfect solution. Somebody always gets upset, and you don't get reelected. So for the most part, in this situation, we may reach the limits, or shall we say the restrictions on monetary policy, what it can do, and then have to deal with fiscal policy to deal with that. And then there are a variety of things. You're seeing that on the Democratic side and also with President Trump, a variety of different solutions on the fiscal side, and there's no consensus as to which one they want to use. Many of them are new, untested, or really haven't been done for a while. So therefore, you know, I think there's much more uncertainty as to how the story is going to end, if you want to call it that way.
How you make a note in your commentary that you said that the U.S. financial markets, you still see that as probably the most attractive place. But then you also say, but it could simply be it's just the best house in a bad neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, it's just right now. You know, we control our own currency, which, you know, gives a lot of benefits. And also, for the first time in a long time, we're relatively economically self-sufficient. So even though things may be more expensive, if you look at it, it's unlike the 70s where we're dependent on Middle Eastern oil. Mm-hmm. Right now, even with China, eventually over time, there could be substitution here in the United States for a lot of the manufacturing, a lot of the production as well. So, in essence, the economy is not bulletproof, but basically it's in much better shape than every place else in the world. In addition to that, strictly from, I guess, an investment point of view, if you look at interest rates, you know, the EU has reversed, you know, basically a, you know, the EU has essentially reversed position and now says, you know, it's not going to even consider tightening. So therefore, if you want to, you know, the United States, even at its current low level, has an interest rate advantage compared to everybody else. The dollar is strong as a result of that. And, you know, people, money still tends to flock here for the most part because it's treated the best.
Sure. You know, you made a comment on the break that I really liked. You noted debt and it not being addressed on either side of the aisle. You know, it's one of our key risk concerns we have is consumer balance sheets being, you know, the highest they've been levered in, I don't know, 30 years, maybe longer, in having a rising interest rate scenario. What do you see there as a potential outcome? Because, I mean, Trump's loading up our balance sheet. I was looking at some recent figures, which were concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's, in essence, it keeps continuing. And then also the other side is not talking about it. So really neither side is talking about, you know, kind of addressing the debt problem.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, that's where the fiscal trade-off, you know, may be a little bit negative in terms of what's going on, because there may be some type of taxation that's required for that. Then in some ways, actually, tariffs could be a positive in that sense, in that they do raise revenue, and they do encourage basically domestic production of a lot of these items, which means that they can be subject to U.S. taxes as
sure.
opposed to overseas. By the way, that's an analogy of what happened in England during the Great Depression, when you still had the British Empire. In essence, they shut off from the rest of the world. And although England itself, Great Britain, was not, you know, economically self-sufficient as we see today, but at the same time, the British Empire was. So therefore, it was able to provide for itself, and economically, it seemed to do relatively well during the Depression compared to every place else.
Doug, let me ask you something. What keeps you awake at night?
Right now, I guess probably the tremendous amount of debt, quantitative easing. You know, I mean, when at some point does this kick in? You know, when is at this point do we start sitting there and having trade-offs? You know, the student debt issue is a bomb because, in essence, that's the one form of debt, aside from federal taxes, that can't be forgiven in a bankruptcy. So, therefore, that's one of the reasons on a philosophical basis.
Don't you feel like that should be bifurcated because it's optional?
What do you mean?
Well, the scenario I always use is one of my roommates in college, Brian Tolson. He didn't get any money from his parents, and he didn't take out any loans. He just worked two jobs, and he walked out of Texas Tech. Not only did he get out of there in 3.5 years, he walked out debt-free. Now, he didn't act like John Belushi at the Sigma Chi house every weekend. He had to work, but he walked out debt-free with good grades from a great big state university. So, I mean, to me, it's just optional. It's just optional to load up on student debt. It's a lifestyle
choice.
Yeah,
but the big thing is it may have been, but it was kind of like encouraged. And then there was an interesting, interview where a guy talked about it. Essentially, it was sold to that, and people said, take on debt. And then the question is how much maturity does an 18-year-old really have? They're kind of locked into that position, and unless you offer them a way out, which neither side has done, they could become quite receptive to any and all possibilities, which may be one of the reasons why some of the socialist rhetoric seems relatively attractive, is there is no alternative. There needs to be a viable alternative.
All right, Doug, I'm sorry. I got to cut you off. Anyway, folks, I hope you enjoy.
Listening to Straight Talk Money. Be sure to listen every weekday morning. If you want to contact us today, call 855-624-4004. That's 855-624-4004. Or log on to straighttalkmoney.com.
The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered in the United States through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered investment advisor.
You know, sometimes we talk about mutual funds on the show and occasionally discuss variable annuities. Robertson Wealth Management wants you to remember that you should carefully consider the risk charges and expenses of a mutual fund or variable annuity prior to investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus or variable annuity sub-account perspectives. Contact your advisor for a copy and always read it carefully before investing.